Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Do you remember this trending Facebook story from back in August? It was about Megyn Kelly getting fired from Fox News. Well, it might have been trending, but it was news to Kelly herself.
Also tonight, a phony article about yours truly manages to climb its way to the top of Facebook's trending feature. Fired! What? So can I sue my friends at Facebook?
Well, that fake news story was just one of many to make it to Facebook's trending topics list. It was easy to debunk that one, but what about the thousands of others? Well, joining us now with more is Filippo Menser, professor of computer science and the director of the Center for Complex Networks and Systems Research at the Indiana University School of Informatics and Computing. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Hello, Meghna.
Hi. Well, first of all, tell us, how big of a problem is fake news on social media networks?
Well, part of the problem is that we don't know how big it is. We know that there is a huge amount of misinformation that is flowing around in social media, but we are just beginning research efforts to try and quantify the effect. There is, in fact, a study that came out just today from some colleagues at the University of Southern California who used the tool that we developed to detect social bots on Twitter. And by doing a large-scale analysis of tweets about the elections, they found that a very large percentage, about 20% of all tweets about the election, seems to be generated by bots.
Huh.
So that's quite surprising, and we don't really know the effect of that avalanche of misinformation.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's interesting news about Twitter. But take us back to Facebook here for just a second, because in terms of trending topics, is there any human editorial oversight to that? There is a little bit, isn't there?
Well, there used to be.
Yeah.
In fact, that, you know, those trending topics were vetted by editors, and then there was some controversy and some accusations that Facebook's editors were possibly biased. As far as I know, those allegations were not really confirmed. So we don't know if that was also misinformation. It was based on one account. But the backlash towards Facebook was huge. And as a result, they decided to make the algorithm that completely automated. And then after that happened, we've seen some examples of fake news that made it into the trending feed.
Right. Now, there's also the opportunity that people might have when they're looking at a particular story and popping up next to it are stories you also might like, which could lead to some of these fake news sites, right?
Yes, it's possible. My understanding is that Facebook is trying really hard to try and show a breadth of different sources of information. And sometimes the mechanism that you described is also very useful, because if you're looking at a fake news, sometimes what you see underneath is a link to a fact-check site that tells you that, in fact, that piece of news maybe is not true. So it could help and it could also hinder. But in general, the things that you see on your feed are highly affected by the mechanisms by which social media decide what you may want to see and what you are most likely to engage with.
Okay, so
So the things that you might be excited about are not necessarily the ones that are most accurate.
I think that is a true statement, absolutely, especially in this election cycle. But let me ask you, I mean, is there a way for an algorithm to tell the difference between real and fake news?
Not at this stage. It would be nice to get to that, maybe in several years. This is still in the realm of, in the area of artificial intelligence that we are very far from. Our group is doing a lot of research on trying to answer different bits of this question, trying to see whether you can fact check some very, very simple statements by computational methods. But we are really at the very beginning. Right now, only a human, and sometimes even for humans, it is difficult to discern whether a piece of news is true or not. There is so much background information that is required. There is contextual information. That's why, journalists, professionals like you, spent a lot of resources doing fact checks, and the problem is that, you know, you can't keep up because there is so much misinformation out there. So the traditional method of fact checking, which is guided by humans, you know, expert journalists, doing their work, doesn't scale with the volume of misinformation.
Well, exactly, because the volume is very, very large. I mean, there was a story, for example, claiming that Hillary Clinton would be indicted in 2017. Just that one story, but it was shared and commented on more than 140,000 times on Facebook, which, of course, engagement then is what further drives the proliferation of these stories. I mean, I don't see how any company could hire enough people to keep up with that kind of volume.
Yeah, it is really impossible. And the nature of social media is that, you know, the business model is for them to get people engaged so that they will click on ads. And also, there is now a cottage industry of websites that do nothing other than fabricating fake news just so that people can click and they can make some money out of our ads. And it's very cheap to fabricate fake stories, especially ones that will engage either through outraging, you know, making people outrageous depending on their political beliefs. And you and I are likely victims. If we see something that seems to match what we believe or what we feel, we're more likely to believe it and to click on it. And as a result, then other people, our friends, see it, and they may think that we have vetted it and that we've looked into it. And so it's very easy through the mechanisms of social media to propagate these fake news. They spread very, very fast inside our filter bubbles or echo chambers among those that are that are more likely to believe them. And it happens on all sides of the political spectrum. So what to do about it is a very tough question.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, I mean, let's also acknowledge that these social media companies make their money through those clicks. They want user engagement. And if a lot of these fake news sites are getting a lot of engagement because of our polarized politics, because of the fact that people, as you said earlier, like we are in our own little information bubbles, are amplifying the power and reach of these fake news sites, doesn't that present a conflict of interest for companies like Facebook and Twitter? On the one hand, they say, yeah, they want to control the fake news, but on the other hand, they're making a lot of money from the engagement that these sites produce.
Let me start by saying that I have some great colleagues who work at Facebook and Twitter, and they do great work, and they work really hard to try and address these problems. So it's not the case that people at these companies don't care. That being said, clearly, it is tough, and their goal is, as you said, engagement. And actually, it's even our goal. We wouldn't use a platform if it's not fun and if it doesn't show us things that we're interested. And sometimes that's innocuous, maybe cat pictures from our sister. But other times it could be dangerous if it's misinformation. And the problem, like you said, is that there is a misalignment between, you know, the incentives towards getting people engaged and the incentives to provide accurate information. I mean, traditional media, which are beleaguered all the time, but they had a very strong editorial role. Their role, their business model, was to provide accurate and fact-checked information. And now, yes, it's nice that anybody can be a producer of information, but the flip side of that is that, you know, there is these incentives to produce all sorts of junk.
Well,
so
we have...
Yeah.
I just... Forgive me for interrupting, but we've got just less than a minute to go, and I wanted to end with this idea that, according to the Pew Centers, more than 40% of American adults say they get at least some of their news from Facebook. Obviously, Facebook has 1.7 billion users around the world. I mean, what can social media users do to protect themselves from the spread of this fake news?
That's a very good question. I think the first step is for people to be aware that they can be victim of manipulation. With new technology, we often don't know at the beginning what possible dangers may come from it. And if people are aware that they can be cheated, just like they can, you shouldn't accept candy from a stranger. We teach that to our children. But we don't know how to teach about checking sources, checking accuracy. Sometimes it's easy. All it takes is a search on a search engine. Other times it's hard. You have to look around. And generally, you just have to be skeptic. Sometimes a piece of news seems like it should be true, and you're so sure that it's true. and you share it without even checking it, and in fact, it's not. So not only you become the victim, but you also become the perpetrator.
Exactly. So maintaining a healthy skepticism, always important for a functioning democracy. Filippo Menser is professor of computer science and the director of the Center for Complex Networks and Systems Research at the Indiana University School of Informatics and Computing. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me, Magda.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll be back in a moment. This is Radio Boston.